Turn in your Old Testaments, please, to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, as we will continue in the second installment of our series using that book. We've got a wonderful crowd this morning. Thankful to all of you for choosing to be here to worship with us. We've got visitors among us. We're grateful for your presence. Thankful that you're here. Didn't Tosin and Mike Tyre and Alex do a good job in our services this morning? We're thankful for them very much, and just goes to show how much talent we have here at the Bel Air Church. I want you to remember David Holder, who is in Ethiopia right now preaching the gospel. David preaches for the Castleberry Church in Fort Worth, and this has been a 20-year work for him, as each year he goes for several weeks to Ethiopia to train gospel preachers and to preach the gospel himself. We are fortunate this morning that Blake is with us from the Bel Air Police Department, and he is providing help with security here as we worship. H.E. heads our security team, and we're grateful to the elders for providing a peaceful place for us, and we're thankful that God Almighty has provided these opportunities for us to protect ourselves and our children. So if you get an opportunity, go back there and shake hands with Blake and thank him for his service to us. The story of Ruth is a story of redemption. Paul once said that the events that took place in the Old Testament serve to do what? They serve as examples for us. And we should be able to look at the events in the lives of Moses and David and Joseph and Joshua, and we ought to be able to learn from them. We can see in them what to imitate in our lives. And that is how it is with the story of Ruth, or at least that's how I see it. It is a story of redemption. And we see how Ruth and Naomi went from losing absolutely everything to living a life full of the blessings of God Almighty. Now, I want you to understand this didn't happen because Ruth and Naomi got lucky. That's not what this is about. And as we saw last week, it happened because they put themselves in a position to be blessed by God. And we can follow their example. And that's where I'm going to drive it this morning, ladies and gentlemen. In chapter 2, the story continues. Today, we're going to meet a fellow by the name of Boaz. All right? Now, he's a wealthy landowner, and he's Naomi's relative, and he's referred to as a kinsman redeemer in Scripture. What does that mean? We're going to find out. Not only that, he's a wheat field owner. He's a very wealthy man, and Naomi and Ruth now have made the trek back to Bethlehem, and they don't have any money. They don't have income, they don't have a job, they don't have anything. Now, years before, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, had mortgaged their property, I believe. I think I can go to Ruth chapter 4 and take a look at that to come up with this assumption. Mortgaged their property during the famine, possibly to pay off their debts. Essentially, what Elimelech sold were the profits of the yearly produce until the 50-year jubilee. And so you go back and you look at that and you study about that, I think you will find that to be interesting. But I think Elimelech's plan was to go to Moab, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as we found out 2 weeks ago, that wasn't a very good idea, was it? But anyway, that was his plan. He went back to Moab, and he wanted to go there so he could earn enough money to buy back his property. But that didn't happen. So now Naomi and Ruth are in Bethlehem, two poor widows with no way to provide for themselves, and they're trying to get by. And if you keep reading, you're going to find out that they do get by. They get by very well because Ruth is able, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, Ruth is able to step into God's provision. Stepping into providence. In doing so, she gives us an example, I believe, a clear example to follow. How many of you would like to take a permanent step into God's provision? To be in that place where He leads you all of the time, where He guides you every day, where He directs your every step, where He protects you and cares for you and blesses you and provides for you day in and day out, where He is your Father and you are His child. Is that where you want to be this morning? Do you want to be there? Do you want God providing for you? Do you want to be His child and He your Father? In this part of Ruth's story, we learn how to step into God's provision, into His providence. Now, in order to experience God's provision in your life, this is the way I see it. There's three things that we need to do. The first thing is, you and me, have to take the first step. Look, please, at Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite is said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." I want you to see, ladies and gentlemen, that this woman said, "Let me go. I want to go. I'm going to go." The barley harvest was just beginning. So every day the fields were full of reapers cutting down large, high stalks and tying them into bundles. These men worked hard the same way we used to on the farm when we had to bale hay. It wasn't easy work. Hot, tiring work. It was called gleaning. There was no pay involved in this for her. I want you to understand that. No pay. You just got to keep whatever barley you were able to pick up when the men got finished cutting it. It was the scraps. It was the leftovers. That's all it was. It wasn't safe for a woman to work in this kind of an environment. Certainly not for a young, single woman to spend the day working in a field, as I say, with tall barley stalks among workers. And most of these workers were transient. They were poor. They were laborers, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, they didn't make much money either, but they made some money. And I can guarantee you that they weren't very sensitive towards foreign women. And what was Ruth? She was a Moabitess the last time I looked. And so I will tell you that this put Ruth in a very vulnerable situation. And yet she said, "Let me go to the fields. Let me go. Let me. I want to go." Demanding work. Risky work. But it was work that Ruth could do. It was something she could do. She took the first step. She determined in her heart and in her mind, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take care of Naomi, who's done so much for me." And so she took the initiative. ladies and gentlemen, for creating change in her life. She got up. She wanted to do something. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and you've heard this from this pulpit, she had the want to. And she did. Many people, ladies and gentlemen, are just content. When they need something from God, they're just content to do nothing. That's what it's come to in this country. And I'm sad to say, even among our brethren, people just wait. They do nothing. They take no action. They sit on the couch with the hope that they'll luck out. I'm going to tell you something. That's not how it works. What's the old Latin proverb that says providence assists not the idle? If you want to experience the provision of God, you must take the first step. When I was a little boy, 12 years old, I had heard the gospel preached many times. And I was so convicted, I could not stand it. I went home and I told Mom and Dad, I can't stand this. Actually, I woke up Sunday morning and I told Mom and Dad, I just cannot stand it. I cannot stand it. And they said, it's only a step. Step out into that aisle and go forward and confess Christ. Only a step. Ruth took that step. Ruth realized that gleaning a field in the heat was not an ideal job for a woman. And yet she did it. She understood it wasn't a permanent solution to their financial difficulties, but it was a step in the right direction. And it was a step that she knew she could take. She had it in her. And that's what we need to do, folks. We need to ask ourselves the question, what can I do to get this process started? Whatever it is that you need to accomplish, what steps can I take to begin to open the door to these possibilities that God Almighty will provide for me? And when you do that, that's exactly what happens. When you start taking those first steps of faith, you open the door for good things to happen in your life because your Father loves you. You open the door to what I call God-ordained coincidences. You know the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's providence. It's those situations that come into your life where after you have benefited from them, you look over your shoulder and you say, God Almighty was taking care of me. This happened to Ruth. I want you to look now at verse 3. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. Can you imagine this? This woman behind all of these men doing this in the heat of the day behind the harvesters. As it turned out, I love that expression. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz. Well, I'll declare. As it turned out. The King James Version says, and her hap, H-A-P, go back and look at it, was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. You're laughing. Learned about something that had to do with that Florida college, probably, didn't you? I know I did. You can translate this phrase, and so it happened. The writer of Ruth uses this phrase coyly, if you will. Or in other words, in a modest or in a shy way. To emphasize that this is one of those coincidences that aren't really a coincidence. This was not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. She didn't know where she was going. She just ended up in a field, come to find out it was Boaz's. Now, when you take the first step, you enable God to bring providence into your life. Your life is no longer a series of unrelated, random events that happen. This isn't about luck, ladies and gentlemen. By God's design, He will lead you to the place that you need to be, but you got to want it, and you got to go. You've got to desire it. Taking the first step opens the door to God, bringing the right people into your life. It was Ruth's willingness to work in the fields that provided her the opportunity to meet Boaz. That's how I see it. You'll have to make up your own mind. People always say, well, what's the formula? How is it that this happens? What do I do? Let me tell you something. Where preparation, hard work, desire, diligence, study, steadfastness meets opportunity, which is God's providence, that, ladies and gentlemen, offers success every time. There's no free ride here. It was hard, back-breaking work. This would have been tough for a young man. I want to be sure and emphasize this to you. I want you to understand this would have been difficult for a young, tough, sturdy man like Daniel or some of you other strong millennials. But that doesn't stop her. That's the point I want to make. It doesn't stop her. She doesn't care how hard it's going to be, how much she's going to sweat, whether she has water or not. Let me tell you, she is going to take care of Naomi, and she's going to take care of herself, and nothing is going to get in the way. She has made her mind up. Yes, that's an example of want to. Boaz was the owner of the field, and so he arrives on the scene. We see him arriving on the scene late that morning, and so it's interesting to me, I know this feeling, because he took one look at Ruth, and apparently, at least the way I read the story, he couldn't think of anything else from that moment on. He saw Ruth, and it was, wow, okay, all right. First time I ever laid eyes on Muffy was at the Casa Ole, where she was with a group of Florida college kids, a chorus. And Mom wanted me to come and help take care of the provisions and the things necessary in order to house all these people. And I had been in the chorus myself. And actually, I'm 9 years older than Muffy. And I had a job. I was in my apartment. I was watching ESPN. I was on the couch. I was scantily clothed, relaxing. And Mother calls me on the phone and said, get up, I need you to come over here. Florida College kids are here, I need some help. Mom, get up. Okay. So I got my stuff on, and she said, the Casa Ole, that's where they all are. So we went to the Casa Ole. I'm telling you, I went into that restaurant, turned the corner into that area where all of those 50 or 70 people or however many people were in there, where they were, turned the corner, and I laid eyes on her. And it blew me clean away. In fact, so much so that when I tried to sit down, I knocked water all over the place. And I'll tell you, I haven't stopped thinking about her, her beauty, and how much I love her from that moment. Now, how did that happen? Well, I had to get up off the couch, I can tell you that. And part of that had to do with I didn't want my mom upset with me. But I got up and I went. And once I met her, I took action. You know why? Because I wanted to. But when I look back over my shoulder, I can see how that happened. God's provision. God's providence. I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this? Whose young woman is this?" He replied, "Well, she is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now. She has gone into the field and worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Ladies, can you imagine what her hair must have looked like? Can you imagine what her dress must have looked like? What kind of shoes she had on? Was she in her bare feet? Do you think she was nasty and dirty? Do you think she could have required a shower? So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. And she ate all she wanted, and she had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." I don't know about you, but I think that old Boaz was kind of smitten with Ruth, don't you think? Now, you know, I've read commentaries here and there, this and that about that. And, you know, some say it was romantic, some say it wasn't. But I'll tell you one thing, it was affectionate. There's no doubt about that. And he knew that Ruth was a part of his extended family. And so he went out of his way to care for her. But for whatever reason, Ruth immediately found favor with this man. And he became a blessing in her life. There are people out there, ladies and gentlemen, who can be a blessing in your life. But they'll never find you if you're hidden at home doing nothing. They're not going to find you if you don't make an effort to get out there, to take an initiative. You know, I have young people come to me all the time, and they say, "Brother Garrett," they say, "you know what, I'm having a difficult time, you know, getting married and finding somebody to date and all that." And I say, "Well, what have you been doing to alleviate that?"
I don't know.
What? Get up and do something. Go to gospel meetings. Go somewhere wherever they're having a party among the brethren. Talk to people. Talk to young ladies at work or wherever it is that you are, or young men as it would be for the ladies who may not have found a mate. Give God an opportunity to help you and to provide for you the mate that you want. Pray to Him and ask Him. Let me tell you what, that's what I did. I prayed for 7 years. 7 years I prayed. I'm going to tell you what, I know when I started and I know when it stopped. Because I was the sorriest at picking out women in the world. I couldn't do it worth anything. And so I said, I'm going to give it to God. But that didn't stop me from going different places and to different congregations and to meeting people as often as I could to give Him opportunity. Get up. Buckle your chin strap. Take the first step. Determined to make a difference. Start moving in a direction that God Almighty can bless. Give Him something to work with. That's what you've got to do in all areas of your life. And if you do that, seemingly insignificant events and everyday encounters will take on a new meaning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Believe me when I tell you this. Why? Because God is behind them. Because you have given Him an opportunity to bless you. And if you want to step into the provision of God, I will tell you, it's not only that you need to take a step, but I will tell you that you need to remain humbly grateful and thankful. Have you ever noticed that some people seem to think that the universe owes them something? That our government owes them something? Or that everyone around them, including God's people and the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, owes them something? Have you ever had an employee who thinks that they're going to do you a favor by doing their job the way that they're supposed to do it? Have you ever had an employee that felt like that simply showing up, just their showing up, you ought to be grateful for that? That they graced you with their presence? Here's what I want you to understand. Our Heavenly Father, who is more generous than our Heavenly Father? Who? Who? Our Heavenly Father, who is more generous than any of us could ever possibly imagine, I will tell you, He expects better from His children. He does indeed. I believe this with all my heart. He wants to pour His blessings on you and me, not because He wants your life to become better, not because He wants your life to become better. He wants you to become better. That's what He wants. I read this quote. If our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, then we will become worse. God's purpose in providence is not to make us comfortable, but to make us conformable. To what? To the image of His Son. Some people live with a sense of entitlement. But when you look at Ruth, what do you see? An attitude of entitlement? No. The opposite of that. Boaz said she could work safely in his fields, and the men would leave her alone, and she could have water whenever she wanted. I want you to look at verse 10. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you noticed me, a foreigner. And not only just a foreigner, ladies and gentlemen, she was a Moabitess. Idol worshiper. The children of Israel were to have nothing to do with them. They were considered dogs. That is a bad thing to an Israelite. Boaz said, I've heard of the many good things about you. And her response, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. Humbly grateful. When's the last time that you went up to your employer, no matter how sorry he or she might be, and thank them for the opportunity to work and provide for your family? Ruth didn't say, you know, it's about time I started getting some respect around here, for crying out loud. What took you so long, Boaz? Is that all you're going to do for me, is send me back into the field? My, I thought you'd bring me into your house and give it all to me. I'll tell you what she didn't say, whatever. She didn't say that. She just said thank you. And she meant it. You know, I've got this story. I think this story is just awesome. It's just a story. It's just a made-up story. There was this grandmother who was watching her grandchild play on the beach when this huge wave rolled in, and I guess a riptide took her grandson out into the sea. And the grandmother cries out. She says, please, God, please save my grandson. I beg you, please bring him back. I'll do anything, please. Suddenly this big wave comes along and washes the boy back onto the beach, good as new. And she looked up into the heavens and she said, he had a hat. You understand? It wasn't enough that God Almighty gave her the boy back. The boy had a hat on before he left, and the hat didn't come back with him. You see the point? I think we're like that sometimes. Well, at least I can say I think I am. God brings good things into our lives, and our attitude is not thanks for everything. It's more like thanks for nothing. When we go through difficult times, we have a habit of asking the question, and don't say you don't. I do this, you do this. Why me, Lord? Why me? Why do I have to deal with this? Why am I going through this, Lord? And when we go through blessings, we ought to remember this. Why me, Lord? Why are you blessing me this way? It helps us to remain humbly grateful for all that he has done for us, to remember. If we want to see more of God's provision in our life, say thank you. Thank him daily. Every last one of us needs to go overseas. I'm telling you, if I could send every one of you overseas and I picked the place to go, when you came back and you got off that plane, you would get on the ground and kiss the ground because of the way God has blessed us in this country. Turn down this attitude of entitlement and become humbly grateful. Turn up the attitude of humility in your life. All right, that was number two. Let's go to number three, shall we? Consistent persistence. I like that. You need to practice consistent persistence. When Ruth asked Boaz why she found favor in his eyes, I want you to take a look at verse 11. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. Look at verse 12. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. It wasn't just that Ruth showed up at the field that day and said, okay, I'm here. It's time to bless me, Lord. Ruth had established a pattern in her life. Do you see the pattern that's unfolding before us as God Almighty opens this up to us? She took responsibility for her mother-in-law. And there were many, many people in Bethlehem that saw this. They knew who she was. They knew what the situation was. Just like if you'd been there, you'd have known what was going on. And when Boaz showed kindness to Ruth, Ruth was reaping of her kindness to Naomi. Ruth sowed seeds of kindness to others. And eventually the harvest came in. Oh, yeah. It's a simple formula. Now, Boaz used these words, and I really like this. He used the words repay and reward, all right? Walking in the provision of God isn't a matter of getting something for nothing, all right? I'm afraid that people, they don't have the right idea about that. It's not about getting something for nothing. It's about getting everything for everything. What do I mean by that, getting everything for everything? What does that mean? In other words, you get all that God has to give in exchange for giving him everything that you have to give. If your everything could be measured, it wouldn't be anything but just a thimbleful. Just a little bitty old bit. That's all, just a little bit. If God's everything could be measured, it would fill the oceans many times over. Don't you see? I know you understand this. Your everything may not be all that much, but if you have to give it, give it. Because God will bless you if you do. Many times people think provisions, it's just a one-time thing, that God just gives you this a one-time thing. No, it's an everyday thing. It's a commitment that you have to make. It's obedience, ladies and gentlemen. Truthfully, that's what it is. Look at verse 17 with me, please. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. That's about a week's worth of barley. She did that in a day. So what does she do next? Does she bring it all back home and then say, I got about a week's worth here. I think I'll come back in about 7 days. Is that what she does? No, that is not what she does. She goes to the field the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, until the end of the harvest. She's there every day, ladies and gentlemen. God wants you to develop the quality of consistent persistence in everything that you do. He wants you to have this quality, consistent persistence. You live each day to the best of your ability. You do all you can do. Day after day after day. You don't quit. You don't give up. You don't give in. You stay with it all the way to the end. Listen to me, college people. You're fortunate in this country to be able to go to college. Do you know how many people go to the universities, last for about 3 weeks, and then come on home? You know why that is? Because they don't have no want to. They are not consistent about anything, and they're certainly not persistent because they think everything is supposed to be given to them. God Almighty provides them that opportunity to go to the best schools in the country, to provide for themselves in that way. And they take no advantage of it. Why? Because they have no maturity about them. And they're not consistent. and they're not persistent. Parents, we have to do a better job. We have to do a better job. Ruth got a week's worth of food. She doesn't use it as an excuse to coast. She works every day, making it possible for God to provide all that she needed. And believe me, there was much more he was going to give her than just 1 week's worth of food. Well, I guess I've preached enough. This sermon is called Stepping into Providence. Let's read this. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The key word here that I want you to remember is step. All right? This sermon is called Stepping into Providence. Step. It means that you're on the move. It's on the move with your education. It's moving towards getting a job. If you don't have a job, go get a job. Get up in the morning and go get a job. All right? Do what you need to do to provide for yourself. Give God Almighty the opportunity to help you. Raising children. You got to step. You got to get to stepping. You're the one that has to do it. Your children can't do that for you, ladies and gentlemen. There's not very many employers are going to come up to your house, knock on the door, and pull you off the couch to get you to come and work. And it may be that you have to take a risk. You may have to take a risk. And look, the same thing can be applied in terms of our evangelism in this congregation. What in the world? Who do you expect's going to do it? And let me tell you, you might have to break a sweat. Well, God forbid. You may have to do something short term. You might have to do something long term. But it's going to take some initiative on your part. Some people take the first step, as they should. And then when things start going their way, this is what I see. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Look at how good I'm doing. Look at what I've done. Make sure you don't do that. That is really a bad mistake. That is a bad mistake. When you take the first step and God sends you blessings your way, you need to remember to say thank you. Remember to stay humbly grateful. Give God the glory, because that's where the blessing came from, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, when blessings start, it is not time to coast. It is time to keep on keeping on. Consistent persistence, perseverance. That's what God is looking for. Determination, tenacity. Do the best you can do, day after day. Stepping into providence. God's provision, the key word is step. This is how you step into God's provisions. The opportunity, God's providence, his provision is offered this morning. And it's offered every day. It only requires one thing. Only a step. You take the first step. You determine to make yourself right with God Almighty. You determine to do that. You determine to desire redemption. You determine to be redeemed. And he will redeem you. But you're going to have to take the first step. Determine to make yourself right with God. Listen to me. If you're living today out in this world and you don't have God Almighty in your life and he's not your father, that's a pitiful situation to be in. Determine to make yourself right with God. Obey him. He offers you salvation, freedom from sin, grace more abundant, God's free gift. Well, let me tell you something. It is a free gift, but it requires action on your part. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to take the first step. You're going to have to make your mind up that you're ready and willing right then to become his child, which means that you're going to have to confess him before men. You're going to have to repent of your sins. You're going to have to turn towards him, and you're going to have to get in this water, and you're going to have to be baptized for the remission of your sins, because that's what he wants. And when you do that, the blood of Christ will cleanse you. And you say, well, I don't know about that. The Bible is filled with illustrations of people who obeyed the gospel, and that's what they did. If you want to know more about that, I'd be happy to read every one of those passages to you, if you believe the Bible's real. We have to be of a mind to give our thimble's worth of effort, so that God can pour an ocean's worth of blessings into our life. But it's up to you, and it's up to me. If you've left the truth, if you've strayed away from doing what you ought to do as a member of God's family, take the first step. Step towards him, and he will flood you with his love and with his grace. Are you subject to the invitation of the Lord this morning? Won't you come as we stand and sing?